Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Beis, the 32nd Perek. In the last Perek, we spoke about how Yisrael will be zoche, will merit to defeat Asher, because they remain faithful to Hashem and stay in Yerushalayim, unlike the people of Yisrael who leave, turn their back on Hashem, and go to Mitzrayim. Now, our Perek is going to really tune in and focus on specifically the time of Chizkiyahu, the Malchus of Yehuda, and understanding why it was that Hashem wanted them to win the battle against Asher. In other words, it's almost like a massive reality check. Pasuk Aleph, after speaking about the wars that are fought in the Perek before, Pasuk Aleph opens up with the bold Pasuk, Hein letzedek yimloch melech. The role of a king is not to fight battles, it's to instill justice. Ulesarim lemishpat yisoru, and ministers to govern with justice. Ultimately, we have to remember that Am Yisrael fights to destroy its enemies, not just simply so that we won't have enemies, but to fulfill a higher purpose. Rav Kook speaks about this when he speaks on the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, of wiping out Amalek. He says that in Hilchos Shabbos, you only do the Isser of Mechia, of erasing, if you erase Almanas Lichtov in order to write something else. And so too, says Rav Kook, we only truly fulfill our obligation of wiping out our enemies when we do it Almanas Lichtov in order to replace it with something more powerful, with something more holy. And that's really what Am Yisrael is here for. We're here for tzedek, we're here for mishpat. And Pasuk Beis tells us, Vahaya ish, this man, Chizkiyahu, who is going to reinstate and reignite the generation with relationship with Hashem, he will be someone who's mechaber ruach v'seter zerem. He will provide shelter for everyone and a refuge from the downpour of rain. Kapalge mayim b'tzion katzel sela kabed be'eretz ayefa. He will be like a brook of water in the desert, or shade when there's a very, very dry land. What is this desert? What is the dry land? The Radak explains that this is a reference to the time of his father Achaz. Achaz created a world which was so thirsty for Hashem because he was so wicked that he eradicated HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the lifestyle of the people. And so what's left behind is a nation, a country that is thirsty, that's desperate for a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for love. It's an entire generation of Balei Tshuva. And this makes us see Chizkiyahu from a whole different angle. He is a person who is going to bring healing. He's going to bring healing and protection for the nation. And that's really what the goal of this all is. And when we live in a world in which our leadership is allowing us to have an authentic relationship with Hashem, then Pasuk Gimel tells us, the eyes of those who see will not be turned away, and the ears of those who hear will listen. No longer will people turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No longer will people block their ears, as we've been saying in previous prakim, but here people will want to connect to Hashem and will be seeking a relationship with Hashem. A couple prakim ago in Perek Chaf Ches, we spoke about how people refused to know God and to have a relationship with Him. If you recall, Yeshayahu speaks about how he's trying to educate them, tzav le tzav, tzav le tzav, kav le kav, kav le kav, bit by bit. But despite all his efforts, Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph tells us, ki bela'ageh safa ubishon acheret yedaber el ha'amazeh. I feel like I'm speaking a different language to these people. They're so absolutely not interested in hearing the word of Hashem. In our Perek here, in Pasuk Dalet, we hear the opposite. When Chizkiyahu comes around and people start to do teshuvah, then Pasuk Dalet says, Ulevav nimharim yavin ledaas. The minds of fools will begin to understand. Ulashon algim temaher ledaber tzachot. And the tongues of those who mumble will be able to speak fluently. Rashi understands this to be that people will finally be willing to listen to the Nevi'im. However, the Malbim goes one step further. He says not only will we be willing to listen to the Nevi'im, but it's talking about the people themselves. They will become teachers of Torah. It's not just that they will follow in the way of Hashem. They will teach the way of Hashem to each other. We'll have a nation of teachers. The other thing that we criticize the people of the generation of Achaz for from the beginning of Yeshayahu is that they are false. They're full of hypocrisy. They are full of flattery, and they have a superficial appearance of something which they aren't inside. In the time of Chizkiyahu, that too will turn around. People will become authentic. And that's what Pasuk Hey to Pasuk Ches focuses on. Pasuk Hey tells us, Lo yikare od lenavel nediv. You won't call a person who's actually wicked generous. Just because he gives a lot of money or he seems to be generous, you'll know if he is actually wicked, you'll know him for being wicked. Ulekilai lo ya'amer shoah. And the person who's a kilai, Ibn Ezra understands, is a person who's selfish. It's from the words kol li, everything is mine. The selfish person, you won't say of them that they are generous. The miser will not be generous. The wicked person won't be kind. You're going to see people truly in their true colors. Because as Pasuk Ches tells us, v'nediv nedivot ya'atz. The generous people will have generous intentions, v'hu al nedivut yakum, and they will rise up because of their generosity. Often we think of someone who is generous as somebody who depletes their storehouses. They have less and less because they're giving more. And this pasuk tells us, v'hu al nedivut yakum, a generous person is a person who will outlive the stingy one. He will have more than the stingy one because of his generosity, not the other way around. Our perek now changes direction. And from Psukim Tes to Yodalad, we have a eulogy. It's a eulogy which is for the 10 tribes who have been exiled because they failed to live up to the standard that we're speaking about here in this perek. But as always in Yeshayahu, it's also a warning. It's a warning to the remaining 2 tribes to not behave like that. And obviously it's written down Ledoros for future generations. It's a warning to us, reminding us to fix our ways too. Pasuk tells us, Nashim sha'ananot, O you complacent women, komna shmana koli, listen to Hashem's voice. Benos betuchot, you confident girls, ha'azina imrati, listen to my words. As the Radak does, he says this is just kefal lashon, it's saying the same thing twice. However, the Malbim, who doesn't really believe in kefal lashon in Nevi'im, says that this is a reference to 2 different types of women. The first one is an isha, nashim sha'ananot, women, and the second one are banot, they are girls. The women are Yehuda, and the girls are the 10 tribes, which makes sense because the 10 tribes came later, so they're more juvenile or younger, if you will, than the people of Shomron. But it's a heeding to both of them. You complacent people who sit back on your laurels and think that you're okay, you're not. Listen to the words of Yeshayahu. Do teshuva, come close to Hashem. Never feel like just because you have money in the bank, just because you have security and safety in your life, that it means that you can forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Pasuk Yod says, Yamim al shana tergezena betuchot. Year after year, perhaps in a year's time, you will shudder, O confident ones, ki kala batzir, because when the grape season is over, osef bliyavo, there'll be nothing to gather. You look around at your vineyard and you say, we're going to be okay. Look at these fruit and how they're growing. By the time it's time to gather them in, we'll be rich. But don't you realize, Shomron, that when you turn around, what's going to happen is there's going to be nothing to gather in. You're going to be sent out into exile and this whole place will look like a desolation. But Pasuk Yud Aleph tells us, Chirdush ananot. You know what? You Yerushalayim, don't think that you're safe either. You should also tremble. Ragza betuchot, just as the people of Shomron are trembling. Poshta v'ora v'chagura al chalatzim. Take off your clothes. Make yourselves naked and wear a belt around your loins. What is this reference to being naked? Ibn Ezra says it's meant to be taken literally. There's going to be such poverty and slavery that your women, Shomron, are going to be sent out with nothing on. The Radak says it's a reference to the instructions to wear sackcloth. Go into mourning, do teshuva, take off your beautiful garments and wear something more simple that symbolizes your return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this difficult image of this woman who is being eulogized is spoken out in a very tangible way in Pasuk Yud Beis when it says, Al Shadayim Softim, do a hesped, eulogize on breasts. Al Stechemed, Al Gefen Poria, because of eulogize the beautiful fields and the sprouting vineyards. What is the meaning of the implication of breasts? Rashi understands it to be your chest. Beat up on your chest to do teshuva, right? The al-chait, beat your chest to do teshuva. The Radak says, you're going to eulogize breasts, meaning you're going to eulogize empty breasts. There's going to be nothing to eat. There'll be no food. There'll be no fields that are full of food. Everything will be empty. And the Malbim is a very, very poignant description. He says, your eulogizing on breasts is going to be, you're going to be standing there naked, embarrassed, ashamed, being sent out into exile. And all you will wish for is that you could nurse from your mother once again. You're going to want to go back to that almost fetal position where you could be a baby and your mommy will take care of you. And obviously that imagery extends to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These last couple prakim have been difficult for us to understand. Hashem saying, what I want most from you is to rely on me. What I want most from you is not to be confident, not to feel like you've got this all in the box, and to turn to me and say, I need you, just as a baby would turn to its mother's breasts and rely on the food, the milk coming out of the breasts for sustenance, for love, for connection. And that's why Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us, if you fail to do that, then Aldmas Ami Kot Shamir Ta'ale, on my nation's soil, thistles will grow. And the Shamir Vishayit, these thorns and thistles that we keep talking about in Yeshayahu, represent chaos. They represent the removal of Hashkacha practice of Hashem's divine providence. It's no longer a mommy nursing or suckling her child, but you're going to be left alone and left desolate. And now the last couple psukim of the parak from Tesvav really switch gear once again, and this time it's to give them comfort, to give them nechama. And I will say that Ibn Ezra understands these psukim as part of the tochacha, the rebuke of Am Yisrael, but I'm going to read them how the other Rishonim understand it, as this is really the nechama for the tragedy of the last couple psukim. Pasuk Tesvav tells us, Ad ye'ara elenu ruach mimarom. The state of desolation will continue until HaKadosh Baruch Hu pours upon it His spirit, ruach ya, maybe meaning rachamim, His spirit of mercy from above. V'haya midbar lekarmel, v'hakarmel liya'ar yachashev. And the desert, which represents no food, no produce, nothing to eat, will become like the Carmel. It will become farmland. It will once again be fruitful. And the farmland will be considered as great as a forest. Everything will continue, will once again reproduce. There'll be more to eat at the end of days. And what will happen at those end of days? V'shachan b'midbar mishpat. There'll be justice. U'tzedaka b'karmel teshev. And righteousness will once again return to the cities. Just like the transition from Achaz to Chizkiyah, who is a transition not just from curse and enemies to peace and security. It's a transition from injustice to tzedaka and mishpat, to righteousness and connection to Hashem. So too, what we're yearning for at the end of days is also this transition, not just from chaos to predictability. But what we're ultimately looking for and yearning for is tzedakah and mishpat, righteousness, a relationship with Hashem. Pasuk Yud Zayin really reinforces this idea when it says, V'haya maseh hatzedakah shalom, v'avodat hatzedakah hashket v'vetach ad olam. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of this righteousness of tzedakah will be calm and will be confidence forever. The goal is not the calm and confidence. It'll be the returning to justice, and that will allow us to have peace and tranquility. And then, v'yeshev ami b'neve shalom. Then my people can dwell in a city of peace. B'mishkanot miftachim u'b'machanot sha'ananot. Then they can dwell in secure dwelling places, in places where there is sha'ananot. Sha'ananot was the word we used to criticize the women at the beginning of this perek. They were complacent. Here, when our goal is to have a relationship with Hashem, then sha'anan is no longer complacency, but it's a place of rest, a place of rest that's authentic, because it's not disregarding Hashem, but it's leaning into the relationship with Hashem. When we disregard Hashem and feel comfortable despite God, that's complacency, that's bad. But when we lean into our relationship with Hashem, when we beg Him to help us, and we feel the security of our bitachon, of our emunah in Hashem, then we can have real rest and real peace inside of us. And when that happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha will provide for us. Ubarad baredet hayar. Then hail will fall in the forest. It won't fall on people. People will be safe from the elements. Ubishiflat tishpal hayar. And people will once again build cities in valleys. Valleys are one of the least secure places to build a city, because the enemies can come from the top. But in this futuristic time, in a time of peace and tranquility, there are no enemies. So people will once again build their buildings down in the valleys, and they will be safe. This is the vision. This is the hope. This is what Yeshayahu reminds us is what we're all yearning for. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refua Shalema L'Yonina Sima Bas Daphna Hinda Jennifer Hayakara Shalano U'Lepitzu'ei Tzahal Achenu Hayakarim B'Toch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael Nina V'Chaim Shenka.